We hope today's edition of The Hour of Power will be encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com and live on Facebook on The Rock Christian Music page. Or you can find us on the Paragon Communications app and take us with you everywhere. Let us pray, let us pray, everywhere and every way, every moment of the day.
Good morning. You are tuned into the Hour of Power, the most powerful hour of my day. I'm Tina Dobbs, sitting in the driver's seat this morning. My sister in Christ, Monica Lovell, is over there running the iPad. And our guest this morning is our pastor in, our pastor in Christ. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was going to say brother in Christ, Pastor Jace Morrow.
I am in Christ, so it's just whatever the first title would be. It's just whatever.
I guess. Everything feels weird. It's a new year, and everything just feels different. So we've had changes, and we're still getting used to the changes. But we're learning to roll with it. So how are you this morning?
I'm cold. Yes. I mean, I'm good, though.
Oh,
good, though.
What about you? Did you blow all the way here?
Yeah.
I bet that was a rough ride.
It wasn't that bad. I thought it was going to be way worse. I really thought there was more moisture, and I didn't know if rain was coming or not. So yeah. I'm glad that it held off for a little bit.
Me, too. Especially, you got to travel again.
Going back. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Going to the city later.
So. I'm glad that. Did it stay nice in the city? I mean,
I bet
dry,
so.
Nice, but
yeah, good. I think so for now.
Well, okay, we better get to the business now. If you have a praise report or prayer request, you can email it to ourpower32@gmail.com, or you can comment on the Facebook post, and we'll do our best to get it on paper and pray for you about halfway through the program. We do record in two parts, and we'll do our best to get that uploaded right after the program has ended. Our sponsor for today is Drew's Plumbing, Heat, and Air Conditioning, located in Corn, Oklahoma. Do you want me to announce the whole thing? For all your plumbing and HVAC needs, call Drew's at 580-343-2525, a company that cares. Please like, share, and comment to let us know you're joining us, even if it's the replay. I think I covered it all.
Okay.
Would you like to pray to get it started?
Absolutely. Yeah. Heavenly Father, God, we are thankful for you. God, what an honor it is to be able to just have such an awesome and mighty God that we can come before at any moment's notice. God, we just want to come before you just to properly worship you. God, give you the honor and praise that nobody else deserves but you. And so, Father, I pray for this time that we have as we open up your word. God, we know that the teaching of your word, God, it does not return void. But God, the last thing that these people need, they don't need a word or an encouraging word from me, a fallen, broken, sinful person. God, the words of life come from you and you alone. That's the one that changes the hardest of hearts. That's the one that changes eternal destinations, is the power of your word. So, Father, I pray that your word would go forward today. God, for the believers that are tuning in, listening to this, God, it would equip them, it would challenge them, it would maybe convict them if areas of maybe there's some things that we've been dealing with that we haven't fully surrendered over to you, that God, we would allow you to, we would just trust you in those areas and we would just give it all over. God, I pray for anybody that's finding this station that doesn't know you as Lord. God, they would hear the promises and the truth of your word that God, you are God of all creation who created us, who loved us, who willingly sent His one and only Son, who died on the cross for our sins, that rose from the grave, and that anybody would put their faith in you would have forgiveness of their sin and have eternal life. So, God, we just pray that for anybody that's listening to this that doesn't know Jesus as Lord, God, they would see their need for King Jesus. They would want to repent of their sins and be made new because of their faith in Jesus. So, God, we give you the glory and praise however you see fit to move across this today. God, we trust you with it, and we seek you out in it. Lord, we love you. We pray and we ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I like your title, Made New.
I actually came in with a title.
You did.
Y'all did not have to pull teeth and go, what's your title? Right? They usually hold my arm and twist it until I give them a title before they start the show. But I, yeah, Yeah, so I find my arms out of the sling now, so I made sure. No, I'm kidding. So, yeah, I actually came in with the title, Made New. Wow, big, deep, deep thought, isn't it? Made New. So, just thinking about the new year, I know we like to do New Year's resolutions. By the way, do y'all have New Year's resolutions that are y'all are willing to share? I don't know.
I don't make New Year's resolutions. I make new goals for the new year.
Good. That's probably a better way to make it, to word it.
Yeah. For me, I want to learn this year. My goal is to do better about staying out of my own thoughts and allowing the Lord to lead more. And not talk back so much to the Lord.
Oh.
When he says to do something. I'm working on a sir, yes, sir mindset. That's my goal this year.
Good. Good. Do you have a game plan for how you're doing that? I'm just curious.
Well,
I'd like to help me to get to that point. This is what I'm doing.
So I set my alarm at 6 a.m. And I don't judge me, y'all.
It's okay.
When my alarm goes off, it has a snooze button.
Oh, yeah, sure.
And I set it for 30 minutes. And then I lay there and just give the Lord the first 30 minutes. Sometimes I fall back to sleep, and sometimes I don't. But I set my alarm 30 minutes early, purposely, on purpose, intentionally give the Lord the first minutes. When I realize he gave me a new day. Mm-hmm. But before my feet hit the floor, I want to give him the first minutes.
Okay. Yeah.
And then I get up and do my stuff, get my coffee. And then about 7:30 after my grandson gets on the bus, I get my Bible. I'm reading the Passions Translation. Mm-hmm. And I do my best to remember to read at least one chapter every morning before I walk out my door.
Yeah.
And I'll stand there in my living room when I'm ready to leave, and I'll ask God, are you ready to go?
No.
And I wait for, and it doesn't take him long.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. Let's go. And then we go.
Yeah.
So I just kind of, yeah.
Well, cool. I like that. Just giving yourself just the awareness of, because he's always ready to go.
Yeah.
But it's more just, you're making it more aware of wherever I go, the Lord is with me.
I want to be more purposeful and intentional this year.
Of his presence.
Yes.
Yeah. That's good. I like that. I'm just curious because I know I make the tendency of making a new goal or something. I can make that goal. But if I don't take the time to, okay, how am I going to achieve that? How do I get to that point? It's not going to happen. So I was just interested to hear how you were going to do that. So that's cool that you have a game plan of how you're going to get there.
And, you know, and some days, you know.
And that'll adjust over the throughout the year.
I get in a hurry sometimes, you know. And it's like, I don't beat myself up too bad because it's like, I have a goal, like the bullseye on a target. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And a target has circles around it. As long as I make it on that board somewhere, I don't beat myself up too bad.
Right.
And I try really hard to be aware, you know, and.
Yeah. You know, that's every year I make the same resolution of I'm going to read the entire Bible through again. Like I'm just going to do that this year. I'm doing it with a couple of my youth students. And full transparency, I'm already behind. Like there's some things, but the thing like with the New Year's resolution of trying not to make this new goal, and the reason why we fail them, right, is because like we fall off, we get lazy with it, and we feel like we can't pick back up. And then like, so if somebody's goal is this year, I want to start reading the Bible more, not maybe all the way through, but just starting having a regular quiet time. Then the moment they fall off, it all falls off. They all quit. But, like, the goal for reading the Bible isn't so you can check it off at the end of the day and go, okay, boom, okay, I got it read. okay, good. I can do the same thing with the Harry Potter book.
Right.
Like, are you reading the Bible for just a spiritual checkoff list? I hope not, because the goal of out of this year of, man, I want to read the Bible, hopefully it is not because I can say that I've done it. My purpose is I want to spend more time with the Lord. And so even if, okay, you know what, that's my goal, but I've fallen off. Okay, you fell off. Start back over tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Like, pick back up. It's okay. The intention is not so you can check it off. It's, I want to be purposeful, like what you said, I want to be purposeful, I want to be intentional with spending time with the Lord. And I, that'll grow over time, that mm-hmm. discipline, even if it's just a 5 minutes of every day to read. 5 minutes may not be a lot for some of you that are avid readers, but it might be a lot for those that don't like to read. And that's got to become a spiritual discipline of learning that. And that'll grow over time. So, yeah, that's what I've got to remind myself of. Hey, it's all right. You're behind. But don't make that excuse to just let it all derail and fall off the tracks already, because we're 12 days in. So, like, it's okay. Just get back on. So I did something, there is a very super reliable source called Google, right? Is everything on the internet is true, right? But anyways, no, it's not. But when I Google, I just wanted to see what were the top 10 New Year's resolutions that everybody likes to make, right? Here's the top 10. I found another interesting list from Time Magazine, I think from like 2018. They had some like really interesting ones. I'm like, nobody's actually making these their New Year's resolutions, but I've added an additional two just because I thought they were unique. I'm not gonna say weird; they're just unique. So here's like the top 10 typical things. I'm sure. Can you guess what number one is?
Lose weight.
Yes, you do have to do that. Health. Is exercise more, and then number two was to lose weight. But I'm like, those go hand in hand, right? Yeah, exercise more. Number two is lose weight. Three, get organized. Four, learn a new skill/hobby. And then number five, live life to the fullest. I don't know how that looks for everybody. I know people live their life differently, and so full might be different. I've already been living my life to the fullest. That's why I need number one and two to exercise and lose weight. Great, I'm already living it to the fullest. So number six, save. It's kind of a double-sided coin. Save more money, spend less money. Save more, spend less. Right? Is that Kmart? I forgot who already says that. Save more, spend less. All right. But number seven, quit smoking. That's good. Or so just anything that you have a habit of something. I'm gonna quit. Fill in the blank this year. Number eight, spend more time with friends and family. Number nine, travel more. 10, read more. Those are pretty reasonable things. I like those. Some of those are mine too. So here are the two that I thought were really interesting. Not weird, just unique. I just didn't. Number 11. This was on, I think, 2018. A lot of people were doing this. Make my own kale chips. And the room goes silent. Okay. Monica's already Googling how to make kale chips now. No. How to make your own kale chips. I have done that before, one time, and it's never a resolution. Anyway, that wasn't a thing, but we were just trying on a health kick and tried that. So apparently, back in 2018, people, that was their New Year's resolution. This year, we're going to stop buying them. We're going to make our own kale chips. Number 12, crochet a beanie. They're not weird. They're just unique. I don't know. They were on a top 10 list back in like 2018. I don't know who they were surveying, these were on the same list, to make the own kale chips and crochet a beanie. I don't know if this was a nursing home or if this was California people. Not that California people are weird, but like they're always on a health kick. They want to eat healthy. So I don't know. I just thought it was really interesting that those were the typical things. And so the problem with New Year's resolutions, like we've already talked about, a lot of people, we make those, we create them. But we fall off pretty quickly, right? Mm-hmm. We might go a month, we might go a few months, a weeks, or even days into it, and we fall off, right? Then there's some people who are the opposite, that they'll create a goal, and then they go over the top with it. Do y'all know people like that? They'll set a goal, or whatever they're going to do, and they go above and beyond whatever they said they were going to do. There was a couple in Australia. Let me remember their names. So they're from Australia, Alan and Jeanette Murray. So when at the time they made this goal, they were in their 60s already. But they made it a goal that for the next year, they're gonna run a marathon, 26.2 miles. They're gonna run a marathon every single day. Not just, hey, we're gonna run and get prepared for a marathon. We're going to wake up and we're going to run 26.2 miles every day for this next year. And they're in their 60s. And sure enough, they did it. They ran 26.2 miles. Yeah, I'd say that. Good for you, pal.
Wow.
Like, I'm proud of you. Not, that's not for me. But yeah, so they ran a marathon every single day of that year, 365 days in a row in Australia. And so together they ran over 9,500 miles together. Like, that is awesome. Good for them, right? So I don't know about you, but man, when I hear stories like that, that makes me feel like, okay, I have not accomplished a whole lot in my New Year's resolutions. When someone like that has gone above and beyond, just making a one marathon a goal. Wow, that's awesome. That's awesome. Every day, like, get a job.
I don't know. Is the hobby.
Yeah, that is the hobby. I was going to say, get a new hobby.
I made a resolution like that one time. And then I read in the Word, it says only the wicked run when no one's chasing.
Right.
So I was like, there's my sign.
Yeah. That's it right there.
Running.
As long as I'm faster than somebody else in the group, I'm okay.
Yeah.
Like, that's it. So if we're ever camping and there's a bear or something, all I got to do is trip them and I'm good. So.
If you see me running, you better run.
Yeah, you better go the opposite way.
I'm to the point, y'all, I ain't even going to run. I'm just like, okay, it's time for me to meet my Jesus. Yeah. Hallelujah. I'm ready.
But, and I'm not trying to dog on New Year's resolutions. If you have some, please make some. Do that. But when I hear this list and when I even look at my own list, the reason why we want to make these New Year's resolutions is because, and we want to make ourselves a better person, mm-hmm. right? And we want to be smarter, so we want to read more books, right? We want to develop a new skill and be better at cooking, so we practice new things, right? We want to lose the weight, so we get in the gym, we eat healthy, right? We substitute out things that we should start eating and stop eating less, right? Depending on whatever your resolution is. It's just to try to help us, make us be a better person or a better version of ourselves. And we always want to be like, man, I want to be like a new person, so I want to learn this thing. But ultimately, the best that we can do is try to improve some things on ourselves. We actually don't have the ability to make ourselves new. It doesn't matter how disciplined you are. It doesn't matter how many goals you've set and how many goals you achieved over the year because of those, how many self-help books you've read. Because none of those genuinely actually make you new, right? The truth is that you and I don't have any power that can change ourselves into a new person. On our own, we can't bring about a lasting transformation in our lives. But that's the great news of the gospel. That's the gospel. That is what Jesus did on the cross. Jesus did something that we can't do for ourselves. Through his death and through his resurrection, he has provided a way for people to be made new. Not new in the sense of, hey, my phone's due for an upgrade, so I'm just going to get a better version of myself. Not new as a way of making a better version of myself through different hobbies and trying to improve my reading skills or anything like that, right? It's new in the sense that something fundamentally has changed down to the very core of my being. It starts from the inside and then works its way outward, right? Not I'm going to improve myself on the outside so that it affects the inside, but no, it's actually from the inside out. So as we start this new year, as we've already started this new year, and as we proceed to go forward into the year of 2024, what if our resolution was less about all these 100 things that we're going to try to cram into our life to make ourselves to be a better, just try to be a better person? But what would be different if we actually changed the way that we think and act and aligned ourselves with God's purpose for our life? What would it look like if we could line up this year with God's purpose and intention for our life and live it for him? Because here's the thing. If we actually would adjust our life, instead of trying to just improve ourselves to be the best person that we can try to be on our own strength and our own power and our own ability, but rather give our life to the Lord and allow him to do his will in our life, to work through his plans through our life, it would not only radically change your life, it would also impact and change the lives of those around you and in your sphere of influence. It would radically change that. Because you're no longer living for yourself and your purpose and your goals and your agendas, but rather you'd be living for the Lord. And let me tell you, he has way better plans for your life than you could ever think of. Mm. And that means we've got to change from the inside out, not trying to fix ourselves. And so as we start off this new year, what if our resolution looked like this? To live like the new person God created you to be. This is for those that are already Christians, that are followers of Jesus. This is the target for that. What if this new year you lived like the new person God has already created you to be? Because if, just be honest with yourself, if you're a Christian, you have professed Jesus as your Lord and Savior, can you take a look at your past year, 2023? Can you say that every day over the past year, man, you faithfully followed out whatever God has called you to do? Are there areas, every area of your Christian walk with Jesus was perfect? There's no area of growth. I'm fine. I'm right there. There's nothing else. Hey, I'm a follower of Jesus, but yet my life still looks like a sinful person. I mean, not a sinful, not as if you're not going to sin ever again because you follow Jesus, but man, does your life look transformational? Does it look different than you were, than who you were before Christ? Or have you said yes to Jesus? Hey, I want to follow the Lord, but I still want to be in control of my life. So a lot of areas of my life still look messy and worldly and not different. If so, man, this is a call for you to just to remind you that you have been made new. You are not who you were before. You are not the same person you were BC before Christ. If you have genuinely been changed by the gospel message, then you should be radically different and changed. If you could say yes to Jesus, yet continue to live sinful and worldly and it not bother you, I would be so bold to tell you, I don't think you genuinely believe in the same God that I do. And I don't know if you've had a true conversion, if you've truly actually believed in the gospel message, because you don't genuinely believe it. Because if you hear the good news of the gospel, that we are broken, messy, sinful beings who rightfully deserve hell because of our disobedience, because of our sinful acts. But God, in his great grace and mercy, provided a substitution. Somebody to fill in the gaps, to pay the payment of your sin. And that payment had to be from someone that's perfect, someone that cannot be us. But in fact, it was his one and only son, Jesus. And Jesus willingly paid the price of our sinfulness. If you can hear that message, say yes to it, but yet continue to live for yourself and not live for Jesus, I don't think you get the message of the gospel. How can you hear that and want to continue to live life like in a world of sin? You're not going to be perfect following Jesus. No, you're not. But man, when you've been made new because of your faith in Jesus, there's a whole new process that takes over because something fundamentally changes deep down in your core. And your old desires die off. You're given new things. And that's kind of what I want to talk about today is that, man, you have been made new. And so this new year, if there's areas, I'm speaking directly to me, and I'm hoping anybody else can just pick up what I'm putting down because this is what the Lord's talking to me about, you know. There is certainly areas of my life that I didn't fully trust God in. And this new year, God, okay, I want to be reminded that I am made new. I am not who I used to be. God, here are some things that I want to continue to grow in and trust you in. This new year, I want to live like I am that new person that you have called me and that you've created me to be. Mm-hmm. And I want to live for you. And so the perfect passage, I think, that talks about what that looks like to be made new is 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 through 17. This is the Apostle Paul writing to a group of Christians living in a place called Corinth. Paul's writing this to challenge them, to remind them of some of the things of what it means to be new and why it matters. These words had big implications back then, as they still are today. By 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 through 17. Today, we're going to read out of the New Living Translation. Starting in verse 14, it says this. Either way, Christ's love controls us, since we believe that Christ died for all. We also believe that we have all died to our old life. He died for everyone so that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ who died and was raised for them. So we have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. At one time, we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. How differently we know him now. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, and a new life has begun. Man, what a great passage to remind us of who we are, Christians. This passage tells us that, man, those who follow Jesus, who are followers of Jesus, meaning those who have already put their trust in him, we have been made new by God. Specifically, I think there's at least three ways that this takes place. Okay, God has made me new. I put my faith in Jesus. What's the reminding points of us of just reminding, here's some things of how God's made us new. Number one, and it may be the obvious one, you become a new person. That is, number one, how is it that I am made new? You are a new person. That's exactly what he says there. Look back there in verse 17. It says, anyone who belongs to Christ is a new person. This means that something has fundamentally changed in your identity at the core of who you are. While your physical appearance may be exactly as you were before, sorry if you were hoping you'd come to Christ. That's after when Christ comes back. We'll have new bodies, right? But anyways, you're a new person. You're not a new person on the outside. But no, you are no longer the same person that you used to be. Meaning that, I mean, Paul said it like this. You can look back at it. It said, the old life is gone and a new life has begun. The way I think about, so I'm made new. I am not the same person I was before. I think about this story of Jesus at the wedding in Cana, where he does his first miracle of turning water into wine, right? That miracle is not about, wow, he turned water into wine, right? There's more implication behind it than that. But just a quick, you know, recap of that, right? They run out of wine, and so they come to Jesus. What are they going to do, right? And so his mother Mary tells him they ran out of wine, you know, and all this stuff. Whatever he tells you to do, servants, do what Jesus tells you to do. They fill up these big jars and fill completely up to the brim with water. Jesus does a miracle, turns the water into wine, right? If any of us in here know wine, it's a little bit different than water. There's an entire process that has to happen with the grapes, with the crushing, with all the fermentation, all the things. There's a huge, big process in order to make wine. Fundamentally, when you look at water and you look at a glass of wine, you cannot say, hey, yeah, they're exactly the same. No, there is something down to the very properties, down to the fine line, all the chemical things that are happening in there have to happen. Something at its core is fundamentally different and changed. So think about that miracle in that aspect of Jesus takes water and makes it completely different than the way it was before. Down to its fine line properties, chemically, all the things, it is something entirely different. Down to its core. That is exactly what it looks like when we come to Christ. We are made new. You are not who you were before. You were once spiritually dead, away from Christ, enemies of God. But because of your new faith in Jesus, you have been brought from death to life. You are made new in Christ. You were adopted into the family of God. You are a son or a daughter to the kings of kings and Lord of lords. You are made entirely new. You are fundamentally down to your core different. And it's by not even anything that you could do in your own. It has to do with everything of what Jesus has already done for you. You just had to have faith and believe in Jesus and call upon his name and surrender your life to him. Like, you are fundamentally changed and different because of who Jesus is, right? When a person puts their trust in Jesus, begins to follow him, they become a new person. Just like what we said earlier, is a change not on the outside. What can I do to make myself a better person for this year? Reading more books, self-help books, podcasts, right? Those things are great. Better yourself. Do things to grow you. But also, to be a new person, you can't fix yourself. You can't change that. It is a reminder of, man, it is what God has done. He has made you the new person that you are. It is a change that happens from the inside that begins to affect the way we live on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
The change happens on the inside, and then it slowly starts to seep out in every other area of our life on the outside, right? And for some of us today, as followers of Jesus, we need to be reminded of that truth. Maybe we've forgotten who we are, so we began to live like someone we're not. Maybe there's some of you that, man, I am a follower of Jesus. Man, I truly believe he's God's one and only son. I believe he died on the cross for me. But man, I know I'm still not living right. And so that actually keeps you from wanting to come back to the Lord, because you feel the messiness and the brokenness of your sin, and you feel like God's mad at you. Can I say this? I am so glad you feel that way. I would much rather you be wallowing in your pity and in your sinfulness and know it's not okay, rather than say, hey, you know what? There was a moment I said yes to Jesus, and yeah, I just want to continue to do me. I want to live the rest of my life how I want to. That tells me you don't truly believe in Jesus. If you're a Christian, you're listening to this, you feel the heaviness of this weight of your sin and messiness, and you feel so heartbroken over it, but yet you're still wanting to stay away from Jesus because you feel the brokenness of it, that's a good indication that you are grieving the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is in you, and that you can't follow Jesus and still live in sin. If you're feeling convicted of that, that is the Holy Spirit telling you, come back to me, come back to the Lord, repent of those sins, get back on track. That's a good indicator. Mm-hmm. And so for some of us, maybe we just need to be reminded of this, that, man, we have forgotten. Man, I am made new. I don't have to say yes to this sinful thing anymore. I don't have to continue to live a life of brokenness. I've been set free from those things. Listen to what Paul has to say about it in Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. This is what Paul has to say. Don't lie to each other, for you have stripped off your old sinful nature and all its wicked deeds. Put on your new nature. Be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. What I love about this is that it's not saying that the reason that we shouldn't lie is because, hey, you might get caught. But rather, it's simply not who we are anymore. Hey, this is not who we should be. You are made new in Christ. These are things that shouldn't be of you anymore. The same is true of us if we have put our trust in Jesus. Our identity has been changed. The old is gone and the new has come. And what would happen if we began to embrace that truth this year? Reminding ourselves, man, the old me, man, that's the old me. That's how I used to be. I don't want to live that way anymore. Why? Because just like what Paul said, you put on your new nature, and you're being renewed as you learn your Creator and to become more like Him. Mm-hmm. As you lean closer into your relationship with the Lord, as you daily spend more time with Him, it is a natural byproduct for you to start naturally growing fruit that looks more like Christ than the world, right? The old is gone, the new has come. As you begin to embrace that truth, what would happen if we began to live like the person that God created us to be? The old things will start to fall off and fall away, because you will see how broken and messy those things are. But even better, you'll start to see, man, how much more greater it is to live for the Lord, and how much more rewarding it is, how much more fruitful it is, and how much more of a blessing and joy it is in my life to live with and for the Lord than for myself. Because when I live for self, man, I get in trouble. I live for all the wrong things, and it doesn't satisfy me in the long run. It may satisfy me for the here and now, but man, there's still something amiss, and I feel that presence. What is that? But compared to when I live it for the Lord, man, it is so blessed. It is so fruitful. It is so overwhelmingly joyful that you're like, I cannot believe. I would rather have the junk of this world than to have God's presence in my life. You start to see God is so much better.
Is now a good time to take a prayer break?
No. But yes. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, oh.
Oh, okay. Continue on.
I wish I would have put the camera on her for that moment.
Of course.
I was shocked.